Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Amen. We started a series about faith, and last week we talked about faithfulness and how important faithfulness is, and how the world and our culture needs God's people to be a faithful people, an obedient people, but yet a faithful people, that we will be able to stand. The thing about faithfulness is to be firm, to be permanent, to be true, to be in a long, continuous stand, to be steadfast, and to commit oneself to. In other words, fully committed in this walk with God. And our culture really needs it. I mean, our land needs it. The church needs it. We really do. Faithfulness, we talked last week that it is not that we can do whatever we choose to do. See, that's not faithfulness. Faithfulness is doing what he said we need to do, and through his word and being led by the Spirit. So being able to do what God tells us to do and be able to stand in that with our faith fullness and actually live out the very things that he wants us to live out, and show the world that there are people that will take the stand against the darkness that is opposing this land and opposing the church and opposing Christianity. There is a strong darkness in that. And the world does not love us. Jesus said that the world won't love us, and we should not love the world. We should love the people, but not love the system that is out there. Because Paul said this: do not be conformed. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And that's exactly what the world wants. The world system wants to squeeze you into a mold that they've created. So that's happening. That's in place today. It's in place when Paul was talking about it over in Romans chapter 12. There is a world system that is out to minimize Christians, minimize the Christian faith, minimize our walk, minimize who Jesus is, minimize who we are in him. And if they can do that, and we follow that conformity, then we will not be transformed, as Paul says. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, and it didn't say renewal. It's not a one-time thing. Well, I'm saved. Oh, great. Now you get to start renewing. Right? That's great. If you're born again, yes, but now you get to start thinking and having your mind renewed with his word and by his spirit. And in the process of knowing that, of getting your person transformed, being saved is great. How many of you say, absolutely wonderful? Your salvation is precious to you, and it's absolutely wonderful. It's a free gift to you. Just say, yes, Lord. Right? So that's awesome. But see, he didn't save us to sit us. He seated us in heaven, but he didn't save us to sit us here. He saved us to be able to, for us to be transformed and be made new and renewed in our thinking, so we begin to think the way the kingdom thinks, the way he has set the kingdom to be. And we need to be faithful to that. But there's all kind of things out in the world and in culture that is fighting against your viewpoint, your Christian viewpoint. And we need a Christian worldview. A Christian worldview. Our view of the world should be a Christian worldview. The outlook of how we see things, we should see things as God sees things. When you see bad things, when you actually see the bad things, we should also see what God sees in this bad thing. It's opportunity. Darkness is an opportunity for the light to show up. It's just not, oh, it's just dark out. Well, that's an opportunity for you and I to show up. And do what? Shine. Just shine on. Just keep shining. Right in the midst of the trouble, right in the midst of the darkness, right in the midst of the opposition, right in the midst of thing that's rising up against the very thing that you believe in and the very God that you believe in. And it's not going to go away until that day. But see, the darkness is here. The darkness is always the enemy is here to be able to convince you and I it's not worth it. But you and I are here to convince the darkness it's worth it. The light is worth it. How many of you have seen what you look like before Christ came into your life? How many of you have seen that? How many of you know that was ugly? And it wasn't pretty. It was ugly. It was bad. And it wasn't godly. Even though we might have done good things. But we're still lost without him. You know, he is the air I breathe. He is my daily bread. He is all that I need. Amen. So we need to be faithful in these things that he wants us to be faithful. And over in Luke chapter 16, it says this in verse 10. It said, and we talked about this last week. He who is faithful in very little things is faithful also in much. We mentioned that how you do anything is how you do everything. How you do anything is how you do everything. Well, that's true. He says here in the Word, if you be faithful in the little thing that he's given you, you'll be able to be trusted with a whole lot more. Because your faithfulness in this little thing will promote you and I in the kingdom. We might not be a promotion in the world. Sometimes it is. But it'll be a promotion in the kingdom for you and I to be able to be handed more, much more. Everybody say much more. Much more than this little thing over here. You know, so what you do in secret, you know, is the very things that's going to, you'll be likely to do in the open. So faithfulness is something that is growing and cultivating in us to take the stand. Ephesians says, after you've done everything to stand, you know, take the stand. See, that's faithfulness, to take your position, take the stand, even though it may cost you. How many of you know there is a cost for standing? How many of you know there is a cost for standing? Raise your hand. There's a cost for standing. You know, you just don't get, you don't stand in this, take stands in this world for Christ without this world attacking you. Without the opposite, without the darkness raising its head saying, you're not going to get away with this. You're not going to achieve this thing that you think you're going to achieve. You just keep standing. See, the stand is a place where we're going to be faithful. We've already obeyed. We've done what God wants us to do, and yet they're still attacking. And after we've done everything, he said, after you've done everything that you can possibly do, you take your stand. Stand thou for. And he tells you how to stand with the armor of God. So when the enemy looks at you, all he sees is God. It's his salvation that he's given us. It's his righteousness that he's given us. It's his word, the sword of his word that he's given us. It's his belt of truth that he's given us. It is his sandals. It is his shoes that he's given us. Brother Lee did a great job this morning talking about shoes, the different types of shoes and what they mean to us and how we are to flow in the things that God's given us and being prepared, you know, so you don't go to war in flip-flops. You know, you stand battle ready. Even though you can conquer any devil that you have in flip-flops, you can. If that's what God has you wearing at that point in time, because you still stand. You know, this thing about casual Sunday next, you know, and it is. And he's got flip-flops on. Okay, great. You know, I've always wondered why they call them flip-flop. But now I know. The right one says flip, the left one says flip, the right one says flop. Anyway, I digress. Being faithful in a very little thing is you'll also be faithful in much, and he who is unrighteous in the very little thing shall be unrighteous in the lot. And he said, if you start being unrighteous in this thing, who can trust you with the true riches? How many of you want the true riches of God? How many of you want to be want the true riches to be able to do the things that God said for us to do and have the miracle at hand and when you begin to see it? See, a lot of people want the riches, the true riches, but they don't want the journey. I want all of this, but I don't want the journey. I don't want to have to pay a price. Well, I'm sorry. This doesn't work that way in the kingdom. There's a cost out here. And see, when we fail to honor his presence and honor who he is and be passionate about who he is and what he's given us and what he's given us to do, when we fail or we begin to minimize that, listen, when we begin to minimize our gathering together, it's just a meeting. Oh, no. See, we're already in trouble if it's just a meeting. We're already in trouble. If it's just, well, it's just a church service. No. We're already in trouble. When we start reducing it just to a service, we're already in trouble. Why do we say that? Because when we start minimizing the very encounter that we have with God in coming together, when you begin to hear God speak to you and reveal things to you that helps your life, that encourages your life, or that makes your life straighter in your walk, see, that is something to be praised in his presence to say, look what God is doing in our midst. So it's not just a time we, you know, it can't be a check. Well, so, okay, what are we going to do? Okay, go to church. It's not a check box. If we reduce it to that, we become a religious people without relationship. See, all of this is about relationship. Being together. Name me another time when everybody is you're gathered together in his name in one place right here, Father's Vineyard. You know, that's who we call ourselves. That's the name. But see, we're Christ followers. We're his people, and when we come together to worship together. We come together to hear his word, to hear what God has to say. And sometimes it's a repeat of what you've already heard. You know what that means? You need to hear it again. I don't know how many messages have been preached on John 3:16, and they're all different, but they have the same theme. You hear me? Why? Because so never take it lightly. Don't reduce this time we have together. Why? Because this is one of the things that God has given to us. We have the freedom to in this country to come together. There's no military outside. There's nobody holding guns. There's nobody saying you can't come in. You can't do this. We have been given that freedom. Take full advantage of it. Do not reduce this to just a time, but have an encounter with God. Amen? All right, that's an introduction, so we'll move right along. We'll look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And he says, for it. Now, I'm going to stop right there on two words. For it. What is the it? You have to read the verses before at the beginning of the chapter. And it says, the kingdom of God is like this. He's already been talking about the kingdom of God. This is how the kingdom of God is. So, for it, the kingdom. For the kingdom is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves, his own servants, and entrusted his possessions to them. He entrusted his possessions to them. Then he goes on and he says, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Watch this. Each according to his own ability. Each according to his own ability. That's the reason one got 5, one got 2, and one got 1. each according to his own. So with the gift that God gives you, there is an ability that he sees inside you to be able to do something with the gift that he gave. You know, one of the really, when Brother Doug, sometimes I call him Dr. Logan, but when Brother Doug said, you know, he still loves America, he loved, you know, that being born in this country is a gift to you, is a gift to me. Use it wisely. Freedom is precious. Freedom is precious. Use it wisely. Now, is it saying that others are misfortunate because they live? No. They should use the gift that God has given them wisely. You hear me? But see, this country's done a lot of good in spreading the gospel throughout the world and still doing it, even with all of our flaws. But anyway, he said, each according to his own ability. So what he's saying, he said, the talent that he gives you, this very thing of value that he gives you, he knows you have the ability to do what? Expand it. Expand the gift that he gave. Look, you know, one of the things is, you know, how many of you want to go to heaven? Oh, see, I tricked you. So I put a comma. You thought it was a period. I just gave a pause. Okay, let's say it this way. How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you are going to heaven? Okay. How many of you are taking somebody that you won to the Lord with you? You see what I'm saying? I don't want to go. I've led a lot of people to the Lord personally. I don't want to go without taking somebody with me. What does that mean? It means you've been faithful with your salvation. You've gotten it. Now expand it. Okay. Anyway, let's look at this. He gave this out, and then he went on his journey. Verse 16, immediately. And I'm going to pause right there. Immediately. Everybody say immediately. 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 What does that word mean? It means right now, right? Well, see, this thing about immediately, When you look at it, it does mean right now. It does mean, but see, it also means to be amazed and passionate. Amazed and passionate. So he began immediately. He began with this. He said immediately. They started. He said immediately. He who had received the five talents went and traded with them and gained five more talents. Immediately. So how did he went right then. But how did he go? Amazed and with passion. Amen, Pastor. That was good. It's like this. If there's no passion, you won't go immediately. If there's no amazement, there's nothing that's going to send you out right then at that moment to go expand what he has given you. So what is the lesson here? Do not lose your passion for his presence. Do not lose your passion. See, everything he's given you is representing his presence. Why? Because it is his possessions that he is handing out. This thing about talent, this word talent means that it has been, see, now here in this passage, it talks about coins. But when you study the Greek, the talent means it has been weighed by God and found to be valuable. It has been weighed by God and it's found to be valuable in his eyes. So what he's given you in his possessions, they're valuable to him. What he gives you. Well, you know, then we want to say, well, I can't sing. It's not just about those kind of talents. It's about anything that he gives you. Immediately with amazement and with passion. He goes on and says, the one that went out with five talents went out and traded and gained five more talents. And then in the same way, what does that mean? Just like the first one. He had the same zeal, the same passion, and the same amazement that he has gotten this from God, received it from God, and has the ability to go and increase what God has given. With amazement and passion, the second one went out, and he gained two more. Verse 18, but he who received the one talent went away, dug in the ground, and hid his master's money. Guess what he didn't have? Now, he had the ability, or it wouldn't have been given. He had the ability to go out and expand it. But his faithfulness was not intact. His faithfulness was not intact. He went out and dug a hole and said, after a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled the account. Settled the account. So here it is. What God has given you, there is a day of accountability. What have you done with what I've given you? There will be some that was asked, what did you do with my son? Whom I sent. For us, it's like, what did you do with what I've given you? See, there he's settling the accounts, and he said, he settles account with them, and the one who had received five talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted me. You entrusted me. Five talents to me. I have gained five more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant, good and faithful slave. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. See, often, more times than not, this is talked about at the end of somebody's life. And it can be, but that's not all it is. See, God's given us things now for us to be able to be faithful and take our faithfulness of to our God, because he is faithful. Where did you get your faith? From him. Everything that you have that's any good at all came from him. It's a blessing from God. Everything that you have, name whatever you've got good, it's him. It's him. He goes on and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Over in Luke, I want you to listen to this one. Over in Luke, it says this, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, watch this. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, be in authority over 10 cities. Just because you've been faithful in a very little thing, what is this thing about authority over 10 cities? Does that mean you're going to go to all the 10 cities surrounding and you walk up and say, okay, I'm in authority here? I wouldn't try that. That's not what he's talking about. So what's he talking about, Pastor? Here's what he's talking about. When you look at being authority over 10 cities, he said, you will be given delegated influence over people that will equal 10 cities. It's delegated influence because if you're faithful in a very little thing, he said, because of that, I will increase your influence that I've delegated to you, and it will overtake, your influence will overtake enough for 10 cities. I want that. Do you want that? You know, nah, well, something's wrong with the passion. Something's wrong with the amazement. No, no, there's something. Go dig a hole. See, God looks at this thing, and it goes on and goes on down. Says you've entrusted, the second one was the same. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your mind. See what he says here. There's a joy that is his. In addition to the joy that he's already given. There's a joy that is his that you and I get to enter into, even though we already have the joy of the Lord. Our faithfulness in him and doing something with what he's given us will cause another joy for us to be able to enter into with his presence. And then the third guy. Let's look at him, the third guy. He looks and he says, Master, I knew you. I knew you to be a hard man. There's no passion in that. God's a hard God. Jesus makes my life hard. The Holy Spirit makes my life hard. I knew you to be a hard man. How I know you is you're a hard man. In other words, you get to reap where you haven't sown. And you get to gather where you haven't scattered. I find you to be a hard man. Knew you was a hard man. Look, I knew you to be a hard man. Well, how do you know God? Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Years and years ago, when I was in church, everything was, I'm talking about years and years ago, when I was little. Yeah, I used to be little. When I was little, I mean, I heard messages that God is hiding behind the door, hiding behind the post, and hiding behind the column. He's waiting on you to mess up just so he can help you. I heard message after message after message like that. You know, God just waiting on you to mess up so he can get on to you. How do you know God? Do you know God that way? Do you know God to be a hard taskmaster? Do you know him to be one that, okay, all right, it's going to be rough for you. See, Jesus, in the parable, he said, if you knew me to be a hard man, where I gathered where I didn't sow and I reaped where I didn't scatter or whatever, said, if you knew me to be that way, you should have put it in the bank. That way, when I returned, I would have gotten interest. I would have gotten a little bit of gain from my money. Do you hear that? If that's really how you felt about it, if that's really how you felt, you should have known to go put it in the bank. But see, one thing that he said at the very beginning, he said, I feared. I was afraid. Anytime you start being afraid of doing what God wants you to do or expanding whatever it is that God wants you to expand, anytime you have fear, it will shut down your ability to be faithful. It'll start closing in on your faithfulness. Why? Because the fear of man is going to be, not the kingdom of God. So, and he goes on and says, he answers, he says, you're wicked and lazy. The word wicked means unprofitable. You're unprofitable. How many of you want to be profitable in the kingdom of God? In other words, if he gives you something, he can trust you with it, and then you can be faithful in this very little thing that he's given, and the next thing you know, the next time he hands out things, it's more. It's a lot more. That's the way we should be living as Christians. But we cannot let fear, the fear of man or the fear of consequences, because we said before, it will cost you to be faithful. There is a cost to be faithful. He says, then he goes on, he said, you ought to put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would receive my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one that has 10. Why did he give it to the one that has 10? He was faithful, so he gets more. He was faithful, so he gets more. He was faithful in the little, so he gets more. And actually, he says that this guy too, he says, I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. Then he says, see, I'm going to give you back what you gave me. see how good I was? I buried it in a hole, and what you gave me, I took care of, and now you get it back. So that's not the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is whatever God has given you, you have the responsibility and the ability to expand for his glory. To expand for his glory. So these things that God has weighed to be valuable, there's a lot more. My time is gone, but there's a lot more that we have to say, and we'll talk about it after next week and all. But you don't want to miss the rest of it. I'm going to talk to you about David and looking at his faithfulness, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about the culture and how we can bring what God has given us, multiply it in such a way that it impacts the culture, and we have to take the stand even when they fight against us. We're in that day. It's not forthcoming. What is forthcoming is the intensity of that day. That day's already here. So let's look at this and look at what God has given you and I. Begin to mark what God has given me. And then look at how to be faithful in expanding what he's given you for his kingdom. That's what he said. See, that is faithfulness. That is faithfulness. I'll give you this, and then we'll close. Tell you a great picture about faithfulness. There's lots of them in the Bible. Here's one I really do like: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king has made altars, and he's made false gods, and he said, "I want everybody going to worship. Everybody, you know." And then it comes to, they come to those three Hebrew children, and they're saying, "Okay, you're going to worship. Doesn't even deserve an answer." But they do answer. They said, "Doesn't even deserve an answer." What are they saying? "We already made our mind up." And then what? Well, said, "Doesn't deserve an answer." Said, "Look, God is able to deliver us." So there's your proclamation. God is able to deliver us. God, and he actually says, God shall deliver us. He's able and he shall deliver. God shall deliver us. Watch this. But if he doesn't, know this, O king, we will not bow to those false gods. Amen. I love that. That's faithfulness. Why? They stood their ground. Well, they're going to heat it up 7 times hotter. They done made their statement. They know where they're standing. And they actually said, our God shall deliver us. But if he doesn't, we will not bow down to false gods. We will not bow. That's awesome. See, that's faithfulness. Amen. Stand to your feet. Isn't that where we're all headed? Don't we all want to head in that direction, that no matter what we've been given, as small as it is, that God is desiring to give us more and trust us with more? Man, I want that. I want him to entrust this county with us. I mean, just give us the county. Are you hearing me? Give us the state. Are you asking for big things? Well, he said we can rule over 10 cities. Have the influence over 10 cities, that we walk into the mayor's office and we say something that God has to for them to hear, and it influences them to change their policy. Well, do you really think that's going to happen? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Do you love Jesus? Are you glad you're born again? Yes. Me and you both. Just begin to calculate the things that he's given you, and then begin to say, okay, how can I be more faithful to this thing that he's given me? This thing that he's given me. This thing that he's given me. And there are a lot of things. We take them for granted, but there's so many things that he's given us that he wants us to expand for his glory. If there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that does not know him as Lord and Savior, you've not said yes to him and repented from your sins, you haven't done that. Now, this is your day. This is your day. Doug, you can come down and be ready. If you're one of those that want to surrender your life to Jesus, you just come as we dismiss. Let's pray. Father, you are so good, far beyond what we deserve. You are faithful. You will do what you say you'll do. You are so good. We love you. We thank you for your word. We ask you to deposit deeply inside each and one of us here that passion and that desire that when we're given something from you, that what we've already been given, that we will respond with passion. We will respond with amazement and increase and expand what you've given us for your glory. Do that inside us, that we may magnify your name wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to receive Christ, then you come down and talk to Brother Doug. God bless you. Come next Sunday, Pastor Russell will be speaking.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard Podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.